Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Did you say Hairmaster?
No, you dimwit. Airmaster.
Caremaster?
No, Airmaster.
Daremaster?
Clean your ears out. I said Airmaster.
Stairmaster?
Oops, don't try that one. It's probably trademarked by someone else. Airmaster.
Ha ha, got you on that one. I said Stairmaster. S-T-A-R-E, Master. Tearmaster?
I'm going to tear you. Airmaster!
Oh, I get it. Airmaster.
Yes, Airmaster.
But what do they do?
Airmaster Aerators, the patented aerator that makes a difference. Over 700 units installed since 1999. Airmaster Aerator.
This is Nip Impressions for the week of the 6th of July, 2015. The title, Changing Cultures. There is one organization in this industry that is still suffering from decisions that were made by management sometime in the 1970s. I'll not detail what happened, for I don't want to embarrass the people who work there, but trust me, it happened then, and the organization suffers to this day. I say that to say this. Whether it is a mill, a supplier, or some other entity where a group of people gather to achieve objectives, culture matters. Getting it right is critical and difficult, while getting it wrong is easy and disastrous. Fixing a broken culture is extremely difficult and sometimes nearly impossible. How do you know if you have a broken culture? Start by looking at objectives and execution. What are the objectives of the organization? Hint, spinning the invoice printer better be near the top of the list, and the list should be short. Now, I am talking about top-line objectives. It takes many, many small objectives organized by department, division, or other or some other systematic method to build to the top-line objectives.
And now let's pause a moment for this commercial message.
Hi, Caleb. I just finished the latest issue of Paper Times 2000. Want to read it?
What for?
Well, here is an article on a new machine startup at Dynamic Paper in Lahti, Finland.
That's old news.
How about an article on a fire at Pleasant Paper in Holyoke, Massachusetts? Seems there are some things here we need to know.
That happened 6 weeks ago. We have already discussed in my department.
Well, do you remember David Felder, who used to work here? I see he was promoted to a headquarters job at New Zealand Paper Adventures.
Gosh, Shirley, that happened 4 months ago.
Suddenly, I am feeling out of date. How are you so on top of the news, Caleb?
I go to Pappardello Publications with Nip Impressions, Paper Money, and Pulp and Paper Radio International. I get the news when it happens, not on some publishing schedule.
Really?
Yes. News, analysis, opinion, and insight served up fresh daily on newsletters, websites, internet radio, and via LinkedIn. I can get most of these on my phone. They even have a service called SimulTweet. Pappardello's everywhere.
Wow, how do I sign up?
Just go to nipimpressions.com and click on the To Subscribe button at the top.
Caleb, don't you feel a bit ashamed getting your pulp and paper news electronically?
Shirley, we have to keep up to keep ahead of the competition. I like to think we use paper when it's smart to use. In fact, when people ask me this kind of question about paper use, I direct them to twosides.us. Not related to Pappardello, Two Sides does have the answers on intelligent paper usage today.
Wow, Caleb, I've learned something. Pappardello for the latest news, Two Sides for intelligent paper usage.
If you want to get the news when it is fresh, go to www.nipimpressions.com and click on the To Subscribe button in the top navigation bar. Served up fresh daily. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the conclusion of this week's column.
How do you fix a broken culture? Sadly, if you're the leader who was in charge when events were set in place that broke the culture, it's likely you can't fix it because either A, you don't see the problems, or B, you are so heavily invested in the problems that you can't bring yourself to admit that you are part of the problem, the main part. On an extremely rare occasion, a leader who broke the culture may have an epiphany and fix it, but the list of such individuals in all organizations that have been created since the beginning of time would fit on a postage stamp. That doesn't mean that I have not met individuals who recognized themselves upon reflection after they left or were booted out, who admitted to themselves that they were the problem. It just doesn't happen when a leader is in place. That doesn't mean it can't happen, indeed should happen more often, but our own ego gets in the way of admitting to ourselves that we could possibly be the problem. Additionally, if we do admit we are the problem, overcoming the embarrassment of changing courses takes a very strongly composed individual. How do you fix a broken culture? Once you get the objectives right and communicate them, the activities that must take place are counterintuitive, particularly if you are bleeding money. The natural thing to do is to squeeze expenditures even tighter. I don't want you to go wild, but I want you to judiciously change a few things, and those may cost some money. If you work in an office environment, paint the offices. Nothing grand or fancy, just paint them. While you're at it, clean them out. Get rid of the touchstones and trinkets that have been hanging around for years. You won't believe what this will do for the culture. Likewise, your electronic forms and so forth should be freshened up, and perhaps your logo as well. However, hold on a minute. This is not an end of the program, but merely the beginning. If you are the newly enlightened leader, you have to communicate a lot. Listen 60% of the time or more and talk the balance. Constantly challenge people to the new ways, constantly reminding them of the main top-line objectives. Don't hide in your office. Be out and about and encouraging. How long will you keep up this communication blitz? Forever. It is your job to know what is going on in the organization all the time. Be the composer, director, and cheerleader. Heap praise on those who get on board. Privately correct those who fail to see the light. Report results to your managers on a regular basis. This is your job as manager. If this is not what you are doing now, perhaps you can have an epiphany and figure it out. For your sake and for your organization's sake, I hope so. Did I miss anything? You can let us know in our quiz online this week. For safety this week, organizing safety is a microcosm of what happens in the entire organization. If your safety program and record are exhibiting problems, follow the same steps as outlined above. Be safe, and we will talk next week.
NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2015, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
How's it going, Bill? Or should I say stud?
Very funny.
Really, how's the work on that dryer head going?
We've been trying to take out those three bolts for 2 days. I've had crews working on it around the clock, we've broken wrenches, and must have gone through about a gallon of penetrating oil. And we accidentally hit the dryer shell a number of times. Now I'm going to have to get a metallurgical engineer out here to see if we have done any permanent damage.
So, are you doing this the old-fashioned way, just for fun?
Huh? You got any better ideas, Miss Smarty Pants?
Matter of fact, I do. Ever heard of CBG, metal disintegration and stud removal?
CB what?
CBG, metal disintegration and stud removal.
Who's that?
CBG, metal disintegration and stud removal will take care of those studs and not damage anything else. Heck, the U.S. Navy has used them to repair aircraft carrier decks.
How long does it take?
Usually about 2 hours, and the threads in the hole are not damaged.
Well, that's probably nice if you're in the big city, but out here in Hickory Flats, I'll bet they cost a fortune and take forever to get here.
They claim they can be anywhere in the world in 48 hours, and for shutdowns, they can be here on standby for a reasonable fee. I know they've worked in mines in Chile, and just how much has your effort cost so far, stud? Around-the-clock cruise for 2 days? Lost production of how much? Maybe a damaged dryer shell?
Yeah, you've got a point. How do I get in touch with CB whatchamacallit?
It's CBG Metal Disintegration and Stud Removal. Call them at 1-757-465-0333 or visit them on the web at cbgmaintenance.com. CBGMAINTENANCE.com. Or again, phone them at 1-757-465-0333. 757-465-0333.
CBG Metal Disintegration and Stud Removal. Now that has a nice ring to it.
This is Nip Impressions for the week of the 13th of July, 2015. The title, The Board is Coming, an Introduction. Adding to the long list of books I intend to write, I'm adding another, titled, Preparing for the Board of Directors' Visit. This will serve as an introduction to that book. We'll let you know in the Papri Tallow store when it is complete, but don't hold your breath. I have several I am working on at any one time. So, you have been informed the Board of Directors or other high-ranking officials from headquarters are coming to see your facility. The range of emotions at your site will range from snickers and sighs to people who are actually looking forward to this. May I suggest a neutral viewpoint be adopted? This is an occasion that is important in the life of any facility. It is somewhat akin to making paper. It is simply part of your duties, an important part. Let me start by saying there is seldom an upside to a Board of Directors visit. In fact, let me say that another way. It is highly unlikely anything good will come out of a Board of Directors visit. Your best hope is to break even, that they don't go away with any poorer view of your facility than they had before they came. You will no doubt do a lot of cleanup and painting to get ready for a board visit. You will spend a lot of money that doesn't get spent on fixing things you need fixing or improving things you need improved. Get over agonizing over this right now. It is necessary to spruce up for the visit.
And now let's pause a moment for this message.
Come in.
Hey, Jen.
Hi, Fred. What's up?
Jen, I was wondering, are we going to spend money advertising this year?
Fred, we've been over this before. I cannot see spending money on advertising. It simply doesn't work. Remember that year we advertised in that trade magazine? That provided zero results for us. Heck, I doubt our ad even reached our target audience.
Well, Jen, I just got off the phone with Kurt Gifford, the sales manager of Papri Tallow Publications, and that company truly cares about his clients. Kurt sent me their media kit, and after looking through the kit, I was impressed. Have a look for yourself. They not only have our target audience, but they also measure and communicate their efforts to clients. I really like this media company. I looked on their websites, I listened to their radio programs, and they have quality content.
I don't know, Fred. Advertising is so expensive.
Well, Kurt told me that they work with their clients not only to fit their advertising needs, but also their budgets. Besides, you know we need to increase our visibility in the industry.
Well, that does seem enticing. How do we learn more?
Kurt would like us to set up a meeting with them to discuss our advertising needs and further explain how they can help increase our visibility. He even said that their vice president and CEO would be willing to talk to us.
Fred, why don't you call Kurt and schedule a meeting with them?
Advertising doesn't have to be a negative experience. Papri Tallow Publications strives to ensure your products and services are marketed in a superior way. To learn more, contact Kurt Gifford at 770-367-4823 or email him at cgifford@taii.com or contact Helen Rausch at 937-403-8602 or email her at helen.roush@taii.com.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the conclusion of this week's column.
Boards of directors of large companies will visit a particular facility very infrequently, likely no more than once every 10 years. If you wonder why, look at the list of major facilities your company owns. If they make a field trip once per year, they are going to see 10 sites in 10 years. Now, that does not mean that individual directors may not cruise through once in a while, more on them in a minute, but there simply isn't time for the entire board to visit very often. And this is why it is important. They are going to form impressions of your facility that may last beyond the tenure of the youngest person on the board, for they will, in their routine meetings, comment on your various facilities. Thus, in a few years, with some board turnover, the impression of your facility in board meetings will be the secondhand comments from board members who came to your facility 5 years ago. Those secondhand impressions will make a difference when it comes to decisions as to how much capital you receive and whether or not your mill even lives or dies. Doubt me? Just ask the former mill employees in the vicinity of Cortland, Alabama, in the United States. Your prep needs to be further than skin deep, too. Some board members are known to veer from the official tour path. What are you going to do? Tell them they're not going to go behind closed doors? I think not. You may have some things you don't want to leave out and about, unsightly but necessary things. First off, I would challenge you 3 or 4 times if you really do need them. However, if you convinced me, then I would rent some intermodal containers and, placing them neatly somewhere on my site where they don't look out of place, I would lock the junk up in there. Aside for a humorous story. One place I worked one time, and I was a junior person at the time, not involved in these decisions, we had the capability of placing 44 rail cars inside our shipping warehouse. Someone got the brilliant idea of stuffing their junk in three of these cars. Only problem was, you guessed it, those cars left. It took months to track them down. Two cautions before we close. When you think you have your facility ship-shape, think again. The board never saw it when it was unkempt, so they are not comparing your facility to those times. They are comparing your facility to other facilities they have seen on other board tours. If they are an outside director, heaven help you if one of their other board assignments is a food plant. It is extremely difficult to make a pulp or paper mill compete favorably with a food preparation plant. The other caution is the individual board member who wants to stop by, say, next Tuesday. Your team prepares for their visit next Tuesday. Well, I have known some of these clever individuals to not show up next Tuesday as they advertise, but the Saturday night before about 11 p.m. They will start with knowing how good your security is at that point in time, and it will go downhill from there. What are your board of director visit experiences? You may share them in our quiz this week. For safety this week, when the board visits, you may have some important people not used to the heat, noise, and rigorous stair climbing that may be required. Prepare for this. Be safe, and we will talk next week.
NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2015, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Hello?
Hey, Pete. This is Jane at Rocky Creek.
Hi, Jane. What's up?
Actually, Pete, I was kind of surprised to find you in your office. I thought your big boiler shutdown was going on.
We got done early. What can I do for you?
That's what I was calling about. Our recovery boiler outage is coming up next quarter, and I was wondering if you had any current experience with outage contractors.
Well, as I said, we got done early, a day early, and under budget. Most importantly, we had a zero safety incident rate.
Wow, who did you use?
RMR Mechanical. They even had time to teach our own maintenance people a thing or two.
That's good to know, Pete. Got their number?
RMR Mechanical. Call us at 770-205-9646. Or meet us at rmrmechanical.com.
This is NIP Impressions for the week of the 20th of July, 2015. The title, Dimensions. Probably once a month or so, I encounter a problem a client is having with dimensions. Be it the width of paper rolls, the fit of a pipe, you name it, dimensions are a big problem. Most seem to think that mere dimensions are beneath them, that having conquered calculus, arithmetic is child's play. Let me tell you, it is not, and dimensional mistakes, particularly on a construction site, are probably the largest cause of back charges and overages. Face it, we live in a three-dimensional world and everything has to fit. Some things have to fit better than others, but be it a couch going through your front door or the use of a long radius elbow when a short radius elbow was what would fit and was planned for on that pump suction, dimensions matter. When I was young, I ran an operation detailing steel. This was before computer-aided design. The process went like this. You would get single-line drawings from the structural engineer specifying beam and column sizes, types of joint connections. Then, as a detailing shop, you had to make drawings of every piece. Those pieces are never assembled until they get to the job site, and the erector's attitude and expectation is that everything will fit.
And now let's pause a moment for this commercial message.
Hi, Caleb. I just finished the latest issue of Paper Times 2000. Want to read it?
What for?
Well, here's an article on a new machine startup at Dynamic Paper in Lahti, Finland.
That's old news.
How about an article on a fire at Pleasant Paper in Holyoke, Massachusetts? Seems there are some things here we need to know.
That happened 6 weeks ago. We have already discussed it in my department.
Well, do you remember David Felder, who used to work here? I see he was promoted to a headquarters job at New Zealand Paper Adventures.
Gosh, Shirley, that happened 4 months ago.
Suddenly, I am feeling out of date. How are you so on top of the news, Caleb?
I go to Pappardello Publications with Nip Impressions, Paper Money, and Pulp and Paper Radio International. I get the news when it happens, not on some publishing schedule.
Really?
Yes. News, analysis, opinion, and insight served up fresh daily on newsletters, websites, internet radio, and via LinkedIn. I can get most of these on my phone. They even have a service called SimulTweet. Pappardello's everywhere.
Wow, how do I sign up?
Just go to nipimpressions.com and click on the To Subscribe button at the top.
Caleb, don't you feel a bit ashamed getting your pulp and paper news electronically?
Surely. We have to keep up to keep ahead of the competition. I like to think we use paper when it's smart to use. In fact, when people ask me this kind of question about paper use, I direct them to twosides.us. Not related to Pappardello, Two Sides does have the answers on intelligent paper usage today.
Wow, Caleb, I've learned something. Pappardello for the latest news, Two Sides for intelligent paper usage.
If you want to get the news when it is fresh, go to www.nipimpressions.com and click on the To Subscribe button in the top navigation bar. Served up fresh daily. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the conclusion of this week's column.
In our shop, we did everything but from paper machine buildings to high-rise skyscrapers. I calculated that a 50-story building had at least 100,000 bolted connections. It was humanly impossible to get more than 98% of those exactly correct using normal care, custody, and concern. That meant you had 2,000 missed holes for which they backcharged you in the late 1970s, $50 per hole for missing one on a project where you were only paid $40,000 to start with. Great business. At that rate, you would only lose $60,000 per project. We learned how to be very careful with dimensions and checking and double-checking dimensions. We also learned how to negotiate back charges with great skill. I am old-fashioned, but I think everyone should have to spend at least 3 months early in their career in some sort of assignment that deals with dimensions. It might even be basic bookkeeping. I particularly think that this would be very instructive for people with advanced degrees, although I think those with Bachelor of Science degrees should have this experience as well. It is only arithmetic, yet it is humbling when it is thrown at you in volumes and you are accountable for it being absolutely correct and the tolerance for error is measured in the 1/100th of a percent. Automatic slitters have largely solved the arithmetic problem on roll slitting. We used to see a great deal of errors in this area, too. In one mill in which I worked, where they set the slitters with ordinary carpenter's retractable tape measures, the sales service manager was going nuts trying to slit rolls to the tolerance at which they were being bought and without gross errors. It was the largest complaint by far that we received in that mill. Yes, our customer's biggest complaint was imprecise roll width. So be it bookkeeping, construction, maintenance, or papermaking, don't look down on the people who must deal with the nitty-gritty dimensions of your world. Dimensions are important, and even in this day of powerful computers, many dimensions still require manual input from humans. Do you agree or disagree? You can take our quiz online this week and let us know how you feel. For safety this week, correct dimensions, sometimes expressed in the form of threaded fittings, can make a difference between success and disaster in a safety incident. Are you sure, for instance, that all your fire Siamese connections are compatible with the local fire department pumper trucks? This is just one of many places to start. Be safe, and we will talk next week.
Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2015, Pappardello Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
If your equipment installation, construction, or maintenance project is complex, your choice is simple. C.R. Meyer, a nationwide full-service general contractor, specializes in the most complex projects in the pulp and paper industry. Our millwrights, pipe fitters, ironworkers, boilermakers, carpenters, laborers, cement finishers, operators, and a team of knowledgeable technical and professional staff are effective and efficient in any shutdown, planned or unplanned. Take the simple step to getting your next project done safely, on time, and on budget. Contact C.R. Meyer at crmeyer.com. That's crmeyer.com.
This is Nip Impressions for the week of the 27th of July, 2015. The title, Getting started on August, Corruption Month. In our editorial calendar, your humble correspondent strongly suggested to our editorial staff that we designate August as, quotes, Corruption Month, end quotes. They grimaced and said, yes, sir, boss. We often talk about corruption in mills as a thing of the past. I can assure you it is a matter in the present. We have recent correspondence with readers who have told us very interesting stories of things they say are going on right now as you read this. All of this leaves us in a dilemma. For if we tell the stories we know as straight-up reporting, we could be sued, called into court, and so forth. How to get around this is a problem. Fortunately, I started a book on this subject a while back. We're going to serialize portions of this book and bring them to you here for Corruption Month. If this is successful, look for a continuation in subsequent August in the future. So this week, we'll open at the beginning of the book, the setup, if you please, for what you will see in August. The book is titled Pulp Rats, An Unpleasant Story, by Foss. Translator, Jim Thompson. Introduction. I am immensely grateful to Mr. Jim for translating from my species language to the Big Things language where necessary. Otherwise, the Big Things could never understand my story. Regards, Foss. Chapter 1. I was awakened by a familiar, delicious smell. Grandmother had said it came from cows, from their milk and from their bodies when the Big Things cooked them. Grandmother knew many things, but I never figured out how. I don't think I've ever seen a cow and have no idea what they look like. She, Grandmother, died many lights ago when she crept into a dark place and ate some tasty food. Although those places were around everywhere, about 300 quivers apart, I made sure I never touched them after that. I crawled from my space in the corner and moved down the aisle toward the smell, always on the lookout for the big yellow things with black spinners zooming about. Dodging about from crevice to crevice, I came to it in about 47 quivers. The brown thing was large, two times my length and flat, less than half my height, as they always are. The objective had been stuck inside for a good portion, was still there. I settled down and began feeding on the combination of cow, red sauce, and a thin starch bottom. I really like the small, spicy pieces of cows the Big Things always include on top. I had just finished one of them when I saw it in a corner. It was a combination of scratchings and chews. I am sure the Big Things did not understand these, but it was very clear to me. A convention of my species, particularly the sector of my species that makes its living in the Big Things pulp and paper industry, had been called. Apparently, this convention was to be at an old pulp and paper mill in a swamp alongside the big waters in the warm country. One doesn't take these things lightly. I immediately began planning how to get there. It had taken many lights, but finally I was scurrying onto the grounds of the place where the convention was to be. What a trip! I left my last place by jumping on one of the Big Things' inventions full of wonderful aromas. It took me to a huge mound made by the Big Things. This place smelled heavenly, but it was not where I wanted to go. I wanted to get on one of the Big Things' inventions. I'll just call them BTIs from now on, leaving there in order to go towards the convention. I succeeded in hopping on such a thing, but barely. One of the BTI's noisy things almost clipped me with its sharp front end on more than one occasion. I had jumped off the BTI behind one of the Big Things collection points. I knew this was a place where I could burrow my way into a large chunk of the brown stuff. They had this machine there that squeezed all the brown stuff together and put these silver cords around it. I knew I wanted to get into one of those. On the second light, I succeeded. One of these brown things came out during the yellow time, and I burrowed deep inside it. On the next light, it was picked up by one of the flat BTIs, and we were headed in the direction of the convention. I could tell this during the not yellow time by looking out at the twinkly things in the black. Grandmother had taught me that by looking at the twinkly things, I would always know where I was. I won't bore you with the details, but I had to repeat this process over many lights in order to get to my destination. And when I was close, I almost missed it. I got on a BTI that took me to a place where the Big Things keep other Big Things in cages. However, the locals of my species told me it was only about 30,000 quivers from where I was to my destination, so I decided to make that last piece on my own. I was worn out with the Big Things BTIs taking me on a circuitous path. One of the first things I saw on arrival was another piece with scratchings and chewings, which I'll let Mr. Jim interpret. Caution. Since our species has taken up residence here, our archenemy, the long slimy things, has come in from the big waters and are trying to eat us. Proceed with caution. Don't think that didn't put a scare in me. Where I normally live, which is not the warm place, we don't have so many of these things and do not have to worry so much about them. But I guess here in the swamp by the big water, they can be a problem.
And now let's pause a moment for this commercial message.
Hi, Caleb. I just finished the latest issue of Paper Times 2000. Want to read it?
What for?
Well, here's an article on a new machine startup at Dynamic Paper in Lahti, Finland.
That's old news.
How about an article on a fire at Pleasant Paper in Holyoke, Massachusetts? Seems there are some things here we need to know.
That happened 6 weeks ago. We have already discussed it in my department.
Well, do you remember David Felder, who used to work here? I see he was promoted to a headquarters job at New Zealand Paper Adventures.
Gosh, Shirley, that happened 4 months ago.
Suddenly, I am feeling out of date. How are you so on top of the news, Caleb?
I go to Paperitalo Publications with Nip Impressions, Paper Money, and Pulp and Paper Radio International. I get the news when it happens, not on some publishing schedule.
Really?
Yes. News, analysis, opinion, and insight served up fresh daily on newsletters, websites, internet radio, and via LinkedIn. I can get most of these on my phone. They even have a service called SimulTweet. Paperitalo's everywhere.
Wow, how do I sign up?
Just go to nipimpressions.com and click on the To Subscribe button at the top.
Caleb, don't you feel a bit ashamed getting your pulp and paper news electronically?
Surely. We have to keep up to keep ahead of the competition. I like to think we use paper when it's smart to use. In fact, when people ask me this kind of question about paper use, I direct them to twosides.us. Not related to Paperitalo, Two Sides does have the answers on intelligent paper usage today.
Wow, Caleb, I've learned something. Paperitalo for the latest news, Two Sides for intelligent paper usage.
If you want to get the news when it is fresh, go to www.nipimpressions.com and click on the To Subscribe button in the top navigation bar. Served up fresh daily. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the conclusion of this week's column.
Chapter 2. It was good to get together with so many with common interests. Quite a few were from places like those where I lived. Others were from places where the big things learn about pulp and paper. Still others came from places where the big things come every once in a while but stay for only two or three lights. But the common denominator was this. All of our species, in one form or another, came from places where the big things gathered to learn about, talk about, or make pulp and paper. Of course, a hierarchy was immediately established. Those from the learning places thought they were intellectually superior to those of us who lived in the making places. My colleagues and I immediately pointed out if it weren't for the making places, the learning places would not exist. They begged to differ. I got in a few bites of my own, but must admit my own ears had more than a couple of nicks taken out of them. The worst of all, though, were those who came from the places the big things called their capital city. These thought that without the big things in their place, none of us would exist. When they said this, the rest of us rushed them and chased them into the corner. Let me tell you, they were pretty quiet for the rest of the convention. All bark and no bite, so to speak. The convention was to start in two lights, so while we waited for the others to arrive, we had a great time. The big things had closed this place many lights ago, but we were able to find many, many morsels to eat. The big things are always sloppy when they shut down a pulp and paper mill, leaving enough food to keep thousands of our species alive for multiple sequences of light. In fact, some of the locals told me they were the seventh or eighth generation since the big things left, and they had not run out of food yet. Some of them had taken to eating the black stuff off the thin copper lines, but in their defense, they said they actually preferred it. The old style, they told us, had black stuff full of good nutritional matter. My buddy Schaff said, "Bah, humbug. I tried that once in my place, but when I hit the copper, it caused me to shake to the point I thought I was going to die." The local said they'd heard of that, but curiously, the local copper lines seemed to not possess that power. I must admit that I tried them, and they were pretty good. The message from the Great Mother had been vague, yet we had all obeyed it. While we were waiting for the others to arrive, we commenced to talk among ourselves about the purpose of the convention. Several had the idea that it was about population control. That caused all of us a good laugh. Others thought it had to do with a new initiative to spread disease among the big things. We still fondly talk about the bubonic plague. Tiny Sill thought it had to do with our reputation with the big things. I said, "You've got to be kidding. The big things already think little of us. Besides, why would we care about that?" Sill said, "I think reputation and honest dealings are important." We laughed and went back to feasting on more of my favorite, the cow things on the starch. A good supply of these had been found, and although a bit old, we were enjoying them whenever we were hungry. With the big water so close and warm, many of us took a swim each day. For those of us that came from a place where it was not so warm, the water and water not so available, this was a real treat. And of course, there were always some females in heat, so we were leaving behind a goodly sized population of our species if the convention lasted long enough. Well, we'll leave Foss, Schaff, and Sill there for this week. No quizzes for this month. However, if you have a corruption story, please send it to me at jthompson@taii.com. That's jthompson@taii.com. It will be treated with the strictest confidentiality. For safety this week, rodent control is important for many reasons, not the least of which is rabies and other diseases. Yes, this can be thought of as a safety issue too. Be safe, and we will talk next week.
Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2015, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.